and thank you for joining me. Linda Reagan with Scratched Up Players presents Arts Around Town. My special guest today will be Aaron Sullivan, director of Vagina Monologues at Axiom Repertory Theater. We'll start with announcements. By the time you hear this, Axiom will have been open for 2 weeks, and they will be starting with Love Letters. Love Letters is running July 1st through September 12th. Opening July 2nd will be Vagina Monologues, running through September 16th. On the 3rd, there will be 3 plays opening, 2 short plays, I Got Sick and Then I Got Better, and Confessions of a Nightingale, and then Woody Guthrie's American Song. The first 2 plays run July 3rd through September 25th, and Woody Guthrie's American Song runs July 3rd through September 24th. Say Goodnight, Gracie opens the 9th of July and runs through September 19th. White Rabbit, Red Rabbit opens on the 18th of July and runs through September 26th. Seussical Jr. will run July 29th through July 31st. Today, I'm so pleased to welcome Aaron Sullivan as a guest to our show. After watching Aaron blossom on stage in such roles as Corey in Barefoot in the Park, Nina in Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, and my favorite Costanza, Mozart's wife in Amadeus, it's exciting to see her break out as a director. She's directing Axiom Repertory Theater's production of Vagina Monologues. Thank you for joining me, Aaron.
Thank you for having me.
I'm happy to have you. And also, I'm happy you brought Hannah Dunn along. Hannah is one of the actresses who will be in this play.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And how many are in this play?
There are about 12 women.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And are you in this also?
I am not. At first, I, you know, was asked to be a part of the show and to also direct, but, you know, I can't really multitask that well yet, so I decided to step out of the role of acting and try a, you know, shot at directing.
Now, I have never seen this on stage, but I remember seeing something with Eve Ensler on HBO. Now,
yeah.
Did she do that all by herself?
Yeah, that was a one-woman show.
Yep. That's what I thought, and I couldn't really get into the whole thing. It was kind of, you know, it's a stage play that's been filmed, and it just didn't do it for me. So I'm excited to see this. This is going to be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
And is this your first directing assignment?
Yes and no. So up in Seattle, I did help assistant direct for The Fantastics.
Oh.
So I kind of had a whack at it then and got my, you know, toes dipped into the water. But yeah, this is like my first big directing project, so I'm really excited.
So, and what drew you to this project?
Well, actually, Ken Hill asked me if I would be a part of it, and then, you know, said, hey, you know, give a shot at directing, why not? So I said, yeah, let's do it.
And what can you tell us about Vagina Monologues? I've never seen the whole play, so.
So it's, so Eve Ensler interviewed, you know, about 400 women, you know, asking them questions like, you know, if your vagina would wear something, what would it be? And just kind of questions that kind of dig deeper into, like, you know, the representation of a vagina.
Uh-huh.
So it's beautiful because it's not just the word. It's these women who share their experiences in life, you know, showing their insecurities, showing their vulnerability. But it's also super empowering how they all ultimately come together and just create this beautiful story that Eve, you know, that touched Eve's heart so much that she felt like she needed to give them a voice.
And what got you into theater initially?
I've been doing theater ever since I was a kid. I couldn't stay away from it. So, you know, when it's just something a part of you, and I've had those days where it's like, gosh, something's off. What is it? And it's like, oh, well, it's because I'm not doing anything creative. And I just can't stay away. So I just had to do it.
Great. Well, I'm glad you're back, and I'm glad you didn't stay in Seattle.
Thank you. Me too.
Hannah, tell us a little bit about you. Have you done theater before?
I actually haven't done any kind of theater like this before. Aaron has been my complete inspiration for it.
Great.
When I went to volunteer to help with my son's play, like prepare the theater and stuff, I kind of had a surreal moment where I wanted to be on stage again because I had been previously a little dancer when I was a little girl. So it kind of pulled my heartstrings in, and I said yes, very scared. Very scared, yes.
Scared, here we go. So what is your character like?
Honestly, I'm learning as I go. Mm-hmm. I haven't actually ever watched a show myself, but I am very interested in learning how this woman pulled all these things out of these other women to show the world what the vagina is like.
Yeah. So Hannah is portraying Eve Ensler. So essentially we'll have her, you know, on stage. And that's what Hannah's doing. She's that representation of
with
Eve.
With me back to the audience. Yep.
So you're on all the time?
Not all the time. There's a couple monologues where Eve interviews some of the women.
Oh, okay.
So like Pam Carney, that's the monologue that Hannah will be portraying as Eve and just sitting with her on stage. And then there's another cute monologue where Eve asks a six-year-old questions. And it's just really sweet and innocent and just heartwarming of the responses of that.
Children, yeah. Children's ideas.
Yeah.
So who's playing the part of the child?
Kiva. Kiva Arn is our six-year-old. So she's doing a great job. It's really fun to, you know, see that, you know, giving her that role so she could just kind of let loose, relax, and then just be like, yeah, I can tap into my, you know, inner child and portray this cute little monologue.
But she's not a child.
No, she's not. No, she's definitely not.
Yeah, this play is really not for children.
No, absolutely
not. I don't
not.
Think children would get it. Or
I think it
knows?
Would go right
Maybe
over their head.
It.
Yeah.
You never know about kids.
Yeah, right.
So now with the new repertory style that Axiom has adopted, what are the dates for your show?
So there are quite a few dates. So July 2nd and July 15th. Are our dates. We have a couple shows in
August. It's your opening.
August. Yeah.
And how do they get tickets?
By going online to axiomrepertorytheater.com.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yep, or purchasing at the door.
And what's next for you? Do you know?
I do.
Yeah?
So it's awesome, you know, that theaters are opening back up. Riverfront last year was hoping to put on Clue, but because of this lovely pandemic we had to shut everything down. So I will be playing Miss Scarlet in Clue.
And can you tell me when that opens? Because I've been trying to find out.
So I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and hopefully I've got this right, but it's supposed to open September 16th.
Oh, right.
Yes.
And that's the opening show, isn't it?
That is the opening show.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to have Rhonda on next week or next month to tell me about Riverfront, but I haven't been able to find out much. I get general ideas. So that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else you want to add about vagina monologues? Hannah?
I think it's going to be a wonderful show to be in, and I'm very excited to be in it, so we'll see how it goes.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
So for the second half of our show, I'm interviewing some friends of mine from Scratched Up Players, and I thought we'd talk about what they're doing now and what we've done in the past and how it came about that we are the Scratched Up Players. So I have Jim Dowling with me. And yes. Bob Christensen. And Bob, why don't you get us started? Because you have the dope on how we got started.
The dope, I wish. The memory of an elephant.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. No. Well, it started really with Peter and Nadia at the Bohemian Art Loft when they first opened. They wanted to have multi may be the wrong word, but a whole variety of things to do there.
They had art and they had music.
Poetry.
And.
Yep.
They wanted to do theater on this tiny little stage.
Yeah, and so we all got involved with that. Well, Linda Reagan and I.
That's where I met Bob and Laura Christensen and Bill Seymour.
And Bill Seymour. And about that time, Bill had finished a little book called Scratched Up, which about his adventures at the Slabs, which is a whole different story. But the little thing about the Slabs was when he had finished it, I looked at it and I said, this is a play. It's already done. It's got characters. It's got character descriptions. It has a beginning. It has an end. It just needs to be put together. So I started you know, pushing Bill to write a script. And then I think he engaged Jim, and as far as writing the script, then you and Bill got involved with that.
Yeah. Let me go back a little bit, because it was a big surprise. I had no real involvement in acting or script writing before I met Bill. A few words about Bill at that time. One reason we all liked him dearly. He had just come out of a really scary encounter with leukemia, and he was full of energy. He was trying to pack as much into life as he could, and he was kind of
and
a journalist.
Yes, he did.
He would, embed himself in different groups that don't really get their story told very often, like, he went down to Tombstone and hung out with the gunfighters down there and wrote a story about that. He hung out with cage fighters up here in the Reading area. Yeah.
Shasta Lake City.
Shasta Lake. And got to know all those people. Wrote a whole collection of poems on that. He did go down to the slabs, and he came back with all these poems. And he really wanted to find out how to knit them all together initially. And he and I had just become friends. And he and I admired each other's writing. So we would get together and we'd brainstorm. How can we put all these poems together? Eventually it came together as a book of poems. And then Bob, like he just said, hey, we've got a play here. And I remember that initial meeting. It was at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Sue's Java or something.
Sue's Java Cafe.
Yeah. And you guys managed to get me really excited. It was like, yeah, let's do something with this. So we spent the next few months doing something none of us had experience with, and it turned out beautifully, I think.
I think so. Yeah.
It was at least fun. It was so fun we did it twice. Then you turned around and wrote a script for us, Spare My Brother, historical fiction.
Yep. All about the Ruggles Brothers robbery. And that was simply because we had so much fun with Scratched Up, the play, that and everybody was disbanding and going back to the life they had before the play. It was like, Bill, we got to do something here. we got to keep these people together. Nobody's had this much fun in a long time. So, yeah, we got real busy on that play, and it was fun too. We had a great time, and that's what we are today. That the spirit of those early days is still alive.
You know, you got to remember the Haynes people too, Jeff and Dee.
Oh, yeah.
We would have our rehearsals every Tuesday out at their place on Oak Run Road, 80 acres overlooking a beautiful valley. So we
gorgeous.
We'd have little poo-poos and a little glass of wine now and then, and then we'd...
I didn't touch the stuff.
We would rehearse the play, and it was just so much family. I mean, it was just...
And we performed there.
And we performed it, yes,
that
we
was,
did.
Was that our first performance? That was where we performed it first?
Our first performance was in a backyard. Clark and Jeanette Davey let us use their backyard to put it on and invite friends. And we did one night there. And then we had talked KKRN into letting us come up and perform when they were having one of their fundraising dinners. And so they said yes. So we did that, and it was very successful as a fundraiser. And on the way out the door, Ellen Sugg, the station manager, said, you know, we need a radio drama show now. And I just went, uh-oh. Here goes the wheels.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop it. And we had a meeting of about 19 people. Everybody was involved. And then we got down to the core of about a half a dozen who keep it going. Maybe, well, it varies. But the actors and directors in town have been very generous with their time coming down and doing voices for us and taking on the direction.
And writers, don't forget the writers.
And writers, yeah. By the way, you have a script.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's kind of, you know, how my remembrance of... And all of a sudden we had a radio show, and that was 3.5 years ago.
And that was a scratched-up experience, too. I mean, Lily, our sound technician, was the only person with real radio experience. Thank God we had her. You know?
Yeah, amen.
a big deal for us, too, was Elsie was alive then. So Elsie was really our artistic
Elsie
director.
Ritchie.
And she kind of guided us. You know, she was our touchstone. Whenever we got nervous, we just, you know, hang out with Elsie for a little bit, and she'd put it in perspective.
She was very excited about this project.
Yes, and was very, and then she got sick.
Yeah.
But she never bowed out. She was with us, you know, in spirit, and with what she could do with her time. She was really wanting to do the acting. That's when she got into WIT, and
Harold and Maude.
Harold and Maude.
Yes.
And so she was really busy with wrapping up a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
She had already had her second bout with breast cancer and was not feeling well, so it was a hard time.
Yeah, it was all challenging.
Yep.
So, Jim, now you have a new show.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And tell us about that.
Well, I'm still in the early stages. I'm still getting bruised up a little bit. It's called Write Stuff, and I'm bringing in writers to read some of their work. I'll interview them. And it's a chance for, you know, if I was a writer, it's a chance for me to get out into the community. And,
you are a writer.
Well, I know, but if I was a writer coming on Jim Dowling's show, it's a chance to be heard and then sit down and have an informal chat about the craft or wherever the conversation takes us. So, yeah, I figure it takes about 6 months to figure it out if you really got a show going. I know from our early experience with Scratched Up Radio Theater that you really just don't know if it's going to be a go for a little while. So I'm in that stage right now. I've got some writers lined up, and I'm pretty excited about it. And we'll just see what the future portends.
And what was your background as a writer? I know you have quite an extensive background.
Well, I've taught creative writing as a high school English teacher for years. I managed to publish a few short stories. I'm not the marketing kind of writer. I like to write. I have a pretty good body of work, but sharing it with my local community is just fine for me. You know, I know from my serious writing friends that getting out there and getting published, finding agents and all that is very time consuming. It's a whole aspect of life that I just don't really have the urge or impetus to go that route. So, yeah, I love writing, and I will probably share some of my own writing on the show eventually.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
I'll have Jim interview Jim someday.
Your doppelganger.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you're in our community.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, we're really glad. Yeah, the way the show works is Lily's our technical director. She does all the recording and editing.
She fixes us.
She fixes us. She does. Mm-hmm. She keeps us going. She's our doctor. Jim is the writing coordinator, and he and Lily actually team up and do a lot of writing on the Tanner Hyde.
Uh-huh.
Lily's a good writer, too. So,
hey, let's talk a little bit about Tanner Hyde.
Yeah.
Tanner needs a plug.
Okay. So,
well, Tanner Hyde was originally, the whole idea was to have a call-in show about Sasquatch, and really was to get writers, anybody out there, I hope you're listening, anybody to contribute a script, write about a call-in about Sasquatch, a spoof, have fun with it, and we turn it into a radio show. Well, we did get a few writers involved, and Lily and I are still at it. We're still writing Tanner Hyde stories, real stories about Sasquatch. And having a lot of fun with it.
It is fun.
Yeah.
And when is that show on?
Well, okay, we've got another segment coming on, I think, in September. It's basically when we feel like we have a pretty good show together. It's usually three or four, a few call-ins. And then we record them. We get them in the can, as they say. And then we post them, you know, at a later date. We're getting real close to having a new show in the can.
So you write the call-ins yourself?
Yes, we write the call-ins.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the story.
We write the call-ins, and we're inviting other people out there. You know, if that sounds at all interesting, give it a shot. And, by the way, you can mail any script to scratchedupradio@gmail.com. Yeah, scratchedupradio@gmail.com, and we'll get it. So, yeah, we're always looking for scripts.
Aren't we? You know, we had a lot of fun, too, going back to Scratched Up. A fellow in town, Jim Montgomery, wanted to turn it into a musical. So he was an old friend of Bill's from they had met during doing work. But so Bill said, I don't care. Go ahead. Do what you want, you know. And so he had a bunch of things written, and he didn't have any music for the lyrics. So I put music to the lyrics and threw in some of the songs that I'd written. And we put that together, had a band. Jim put together a band. And we did another fundraiser for KKRN, Scratched Up the Musical, and which went over pretty well. So yeah, that's how we've played with that. It's had a couple of iterations. I want to do that one again, actually. I want to do that again.
And it looks like our next fundraiser will be Randy Compton's The Party.
Yeah, yeah.
We just haven't ironed out the time yet. But, yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
That's a fun show.
Oh, it's going to be great.
It's a true story.
And have you done that on the radio?
We have it in the can, and I think that's this month.
Oh, The Party, yes.
Yeah, The Party. That's this month, I think. Yeah, and then Joe Graceffo's The Greatest Game Ever Played. It comes around in August, and then we go into September with Tanner Hyde.
Yeah.
And maybe, and who knows what we have in October. Send us something.
Yeah.
It could be your play.
It could be your play. Yep. Absolutely. This is a community station, and we want this to be a show about, you know, that engages the locals and people with talent.
That's what we do.
Anything else, Jim? Anything you want to add?
Sure. Yeah, while I have a chance, let's thank Charlie Finkel, Darren Abersold, and Joe Graceffo for sending us so many wonderful scripts.
And Chris Gomez.
Chris. Absolutely. Yeah, Chris is now down in Sacramento.
And he was supposed to send us some plays, too. I got some calls to make. Yeah.
Well, thank you, all of you guys, for the scripts. And we'd also, of course, like to thank John Welsh. He's helped us with both acting and directing many times, and it's always a wonderful experience with John. You know, the guy comes with incredible credentials. He knows what he's doing, and we just have supreme confidence.
And we love him.
Yeah, we love him. You know, yeah, he's a great guy. Great actor, great director. Yep. And the Reagans, Linda and Reagan, directing, acting, helping us out.
Just writing.
Writing.
Oh. Yes, we wrote a couple. We managed
Very
to do
rich.
It without falling to quarreling. Yeah. Too much.
And you're still married.
And we are still married.
Yeah, so that covers the thank yous. I mean, there's a lot more
there's
people.
There's a lot more people.
There,
yeah, a lot of people involved.
We have Kim Mobley, who's joining us now as a director, so she'll be directing the next Tanner Hyde.
Yep.
Because we haven't had women directors, and so we just had a little moment. You know,
I think
Kim.
Axiom has gone to that, too. They've had a lot of new directors.
They have, and young.
Yeah,
I mean, they brought in some, which is great.
It is.
I mean, they're bringing in their 20-somethings and giving them a platform. That's wonderful.
Yep. Yep. A lot of energy there.
Yep.
I think that Riverfront did that, too. They brought in Nick to do Clue, and then COVID blew it up.
Yeah.
But they were working, bringing in new directors also. So, and that's good to build up the gene pool.
Oh, God, yes.
Well, you know, maybe we should thank COVID for giving us a boost, because we had a lot of hungry actors floating around looking for stuff to do. And, I hope they're with us to stay. But now that the crisis seems to be over, well, let's just hope those actors are still interested. I think they will be.
I think they will be.
That's, you know, we were the only theater going on in Reading, actually, for the COVID times.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it at the time, but looking back.
I didn't either, but it was wonderful to have something to do.
Yeah, and by the way, none of us got sick. No, we
That's
wore
right.
our masks. We
social distance and cleaned up between people using mics, and we were pretty good about it.
Yes, we were.
Because I don't want it. Yeah. I don't want to give it to nobody.
The beauty of
radio.
Radio production is, it's a lot simpler than going on stage. I gave that up a while back. You won't catch me on stage anymore.
Famous last words.
Okay. If we do Scratched Up the Musical.
But radio, you just get in front of the mic. You don't need a costume. It's all about acting voice.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much for doing this. This has been really fun to walk down memory lane with you and to look forward to what's coming.
Yeah, as soon as we figure it out.
Good job. Yes, it's been fun. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
May 4th Voices will play July 16th through September 25th. White Rabbit, Red Rabbit will run July 18th through September 26th. This sounds like a fascinating play. I can't tell you anything about it, and neither can anyone else. You have to see it. And Seussical Jr., July 29th through July 31st. And that will be the children's play for the summer. So that's it for tonight. I hope you will join me each third Thursday here on KKRN at 8 p.m. And remember, if you would like us to announce your play, I can be reached at Linda Reagan, LindaRagan150 at gmail.com.
There's no business like show business, like no.